Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes again from St. Paul's epistle letter to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter, which you heard read earlier. For the last multiple weeks, we've been going through St. Paul's letter. At the beginning, he makes it clear that he is not addressing his letter to unbelievers. He says this letter is to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So this means he's also writing a letter to the saints, at St. Timothy in Huber Heights, Ohio, and to all those who are in Christ Jesus. We've heard over the last several weeks, Paul beautifully illustrate the doctrine of the Holy Christian Church, what it means to be in Christ. One who is saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and an adopted heir and partaker of the promise of Jesus Christ in the gospel. We've heard Paul go on to teach how your life as a Christian is shaped and formed in accordance with the gospel. Paul urges you and I and all believers to walk in a manner appropriate to your calling as a redeemed child of God. As I said last week, when the Bible refers to a way of walking, it's not only referring to a person's outward actions and deeds, but it also refers to a person's entire life, confession, and obedience to God's word. God always does all the work, and you and I merely receive. Jesus has already won your salvation. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel and enlightened you in the true faith. You've been called out of darkness into the true light of Jesus, who gives light to everyone. And because you have been called, St. Paul urges you to walk the Christian walk, lest you fall back into your old sinful ways that could lead you to unbelief. Paul reiterates this point this morning in our text, saying, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." This contrast between darkness and light is a metaphor used throughout Holy Scripture to illustrate the opposition of darkness of the devil's realm and the light of the kingdom of God. The Christians living in Ephesus were much like you and I today, and every other community known to mankind. They were a communion of true believers in Christ, but outside they're surrounded by unbelievers living open and depraved lifestyles of sin. It all goes back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's his fault that we all live in a broken world that is mired and enslaved in sin. Because of that old Adam, you daily struggle with temptations of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. And that struggle becomes even greater as a Christian when you look out there at all those unbelievers participating in those sins that you used to covet, those horrible things that you used to enjoy indulging in. And you can't get away from it. Ways to feed your addictions are readily available all over the place, and there's always some new toy for sale that you would like to add to your collection of toys that you never use because you have so many toys. And when it comes to relationships, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, not thinking that the cattle still have to be tended to. We live in a time when every sensual, violent, and vulgar content and programming is delivered into the privacy of our homes, into the privacy of our computer, our cell phone, and TV. And society continues its preaching that it's your life, you can do whatever you want. They say that your personal pleasure and gratification is What's most important? You only go around once. Go for the gusto, they say. And like that old urban legend of putting the frog in a pan of lukewarm water and slowly turning up the heat until it becomes boiled to death, you and I are living in a world that slowly turns up the heat. And we become less aware of the difference between the words, works, and deeds that flow from the darkness and the words and deeds that flow from the light. Regardless of what psychologists, doctors, and political pundits say, sin is at the root of every broken relationship, at the root of every heartache, sickness, and death. And Paul warns you today in today's text, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Remember, Paul's talking to you who are in Christ. The gospel is presupposed. You know the truth of Jesus. So Paul doesn't whitewash sin. He doesn't turn a blind eye or excuse all the popular transgressions that are going on around him. No, he warns of the wrath of God against unrepentant sinners. And you and I would do well to do the same. While there are many types of deceptions flowing from empty and false words, you may have noticed the very first verse, Paul says, these things. Well, unfortunately, these things were in the two verses prior to our text this morning. But Paul lists them. Specifically, he names sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. All that are still quite popular in our society today. So that we would know the truth about sin, God gave us his Ten Commandments. We talk about the second use of the law, that is the mirror of the law. We look into the mirror of the law and see our sin. And when I look into the mirror and you look in the mirror, we see that we are idolaters. We love every imaginable false god. Sure, we fear, love, and trust in a lot of different things, except for the one true God. And in our text and the verses prior to our text, Paul is focusing on the sixth commandment in particular. You may recall that is, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. And husband and wife love and honor each other. Now, in the original text, this sexual immorality can also be translated as fornication. And it is a synonym for marital unfaithfulness and adultery. Well, fornication is a wide spectrum. Jesus says, if you look with a woman with lust in your eye, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it starts with lust. And it goes all the way to the other side of adultery, being unfaithful to your wife, having sex outside of wedlock. Every sexual intimacy outside of God's holy estate of marriage between one man and one woman, united as one flesh, falls in that big, wide spectrum. And each and every one of those sins within that spectrum deserves eternal damnation. Impurity can be translated as any behavior and sexual filthiness, unacceptable to God. This includes all the other things that Paul listed, the foul talk, the dirty jokes, the filthy movies, magazines, and books, making light of sexuality or making light of sexual immorality by condoning it or even embracing it in word and deed. Covetousness is greed, the desire to have more than one's share. It's pursuing pleasure for pleasure's sake. I'm going to do it because I can. As long as the individual doesn't see how his sin harms his neighbor, the sky is the limit. Anything goes, and it can become one's religion. Among these unbelievers in Ephesus, it was common for the people to go to the temple of Artemis. What was there? Well, the prostitutes of fertility were there. So they would go there and engage in the services of the temple prostitutes as part of their worship, pursuing pleasure for pleasure's sake. And that same religion is practiced today. Doing whatever pleasures the flesh is a protected right. It's my body, I can do whatever I want. Why should anybody else care? Because I'm not hurting anyone. And the old one, if it feels good, do it. But then Paul goes on to say, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? Well, God's will is that all people come to faith, saving faith, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yet the foolish of the world want nothing at all to do with the truth of Jesus. They want nothing at all to do with his work of salvation because they're too busy living in darkness, pursuing the pleasures of the world. Paul goes on to say, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Well, debauchery is giving oneself over to reckless and immoral behavior. And in Paul's day, that was quite a popular feature of the pagan temple. And imagine that. Alcohol and immorality still is quite popular today. But fellow redeemed, concerning all of these sins, all of these vices that Paul has named, as we heard Paul say last week, that is not the way you learned Christ. And in today's text, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Because you were mired in and enslaved under sin, unable to save yourself, God in his rich love and mercy saved you in Christ before the foundation of the world. In baptism, you were united to Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection. And you were forgiven of all of your immorality, your impurity, your covetousness, and all of your other sins. The Holy Spirit at the font called you. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit calls you out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus. So as a child of light, Paul suggests that you and I walk in a manner worthy of our calling, trying to discern what the will of the Lord is, what is pleasing to him, and on that way expose those fruits, those unfruitful works of darkness for what they are. Like Paul, don't turn a blind eye to sin. We must call sin a sin and turn off our phones, our TVs, and avoid talking idle talk about the things that the other people are doing in secret. Not because any of these things earn you God's favor, thinking that somehow you could earn what God has already made you in Christ. No, you do it because you're a child of light, and it's God's good and holy will for your life. It's what we call the third use of the law, the guide. As God's beloved child, the believer seeks to learn and do whatever pleases the Heavenly Father. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's something that you are strengthened to do by the power of God. The Christian is to be salt and light into this darkened and unsavory world. And by lighting the way, those who are asleep and still trapped in the darkness might be awakened and called by the gospel and arise from the sleep of death and into the light of Christ. To be sure, some will be transformed. But there are others who prefer to remain asleep in the darkness, worshiping their false gods of excess. They prefer to save themselves, which they cannot do. And that's nothing that you and I can change, because you are merely a child of light. It is Christ who is the light of the world. He is the one who can work good things and great things. It is the Holy Spirit who moves whenever and wherever he wills. All you and I do is sow the seed and shine the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As a new creation, you are light in the Lord. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And because of this, you are in the light. The scales have fallen off your eyes, and you can see God for who he truly is. He's not an angry God with a checklist saying, oh, Chris, sin there. Alma, there's a sin. I won't name anybody else. Don't want to upset anybody. With a checklist waiting on you to cross the line of where, oh, Joel sinned too many times. I'm going to squish him like a bug. No, that's not our God. He's a loving God who sent his son to endure his entire wrath against your sin in your stead. And walking in the light of Christ is to walk as children of God, walking in repentance and in faith, repenting for all your deeds that you've done in darkness, and then cling to the righteousness of Christ in faith that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the life-saving work of your Savior, you have been blood-bought and brought from death and darkness to life and light. You are God's child of light right now. God grant his Holy Spirit that he teach you his ways, that you may walk in his paths. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.